If you are a weekend surfer, a pro surfer, or like me, an urban surf addict, and you'd like to know the nitty-gritty about the behind the scenes of surfing, this is the podcast for you. In each episode of Amongst the Waves, I bring you guests and their stories of how being involved in the surfing industry has not always been a direct path filled with the glamour you see on Instagram. These are their own stories in their own words from people who live and love surfing. Elise Elliott's media career spans more than 25 years across television, radio, and print. A not-so-secret rev head, Elise is one of Australia's few women motoring journalists. She was a presenter on Network 10's motoring show, Which Car? In addition to TV, Elise writes online motoring content for Bell and House & Garden magazine and is MC at many motoring events. Yes, here's a woman who can talk the talk. Elise can be heard on the radio as a regular fill-in host on 3AW's breakfast and afternoon shows. You can also hear Elise locking horns with and winning arguments against her husband, Drive radio broadcaster Tom Elliott, on their podcast, The Elliott Exchange. For many years, Elise was a columnist for the Herald Sun, a national political correspondent in Canberra for the Seven Network, and current affairs reporter for Nine. When not shackled to her computer, you'll find Elise behind the wheel of her beloved 68 Mustang convertible, or out on the waves with her mini mal, indulging in her latest passion, surfing. Hi, and welcome to the episode of Amongst the Waves today. And with me, I have a friend who I met about 6 months or so ago, I think, Elise Elliott. We met in the lineup at Urban Surf. And it's funny, Elise, because you don't know this story, but I'm going to say it right here and right now. I didn't know for the first probably 3 months or so after I'd kind of started to get to know you, who you were and what you did. And one of the guys, actually, Jules, said to me where he goes, "You know who Elise is, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, it's Elise Elliott." And he's like, "No, do you know who Elise is?" And I'm like, "No." And he goes, "She's actually in the media and she's had a job in the media for a long time. She's married to Tom Elliott." And I'm like, "Who's Tom Elliott? Like, what?" And the reason I tell this story is because none of that mattered to me before. None of it matters to me after. And the fact that you in the lineup were and still are one of the most empathetic people that I have met. I'm going to cry already. But also someone who asks questions and listens for the answers. And I've had a lot of experience, particularly with being at Urban Surf in the last couple of years, where people will ask me questions or want to get to know me because I work at Urban Surf and that's kind of a popular thing at the moment. But you can soon tell that they actually just want to know you because they want a story from you, or they want to know you because of your association with being popular or working at Urban Surf and that sort of thing. And you are not like that at all. And for that, I'm grateful. And I'm grateful that you chose to say yes to coming on my podcast today.
Oh, what an intro. I hope I can live up to that massive, massive, wonderful rap. Thank you, Tanya. I'm delighted. I really am really delighted to be here with you.
Thank you for being here. And one of the other reasons I wanted to talk to you, apart from being the wonderful person that you are, is that you, I think from your story, from what I know, and like I said, I don't know a whole lot about your background, but you started surfing more consistently at a more mature age. Is that correct?
Oh, that's just an understatement, Tanya. When I first met my husband at 13 years ago, our first date, he took me surfing. And I thought that was so unfair because I don't know a girl on earth who looks hot, wet, cold in a wetsuit that doesn't fit her, doing a pursuit she's never done before. And he sort of said it was the throw you out into the deep end literally and see if you floated kind of test date, which was incredibly cruel, but I obviously passed. But I didn't use, and that was my first and only foray into surfing. And then, look, only about 2 years ago, so in my late 40s, I noticed that Tom and I were very busy people, both in the media, living very parallel lives. And he had this incredible passion, which was surfing. And he'd go out for 3 hours and come back, whether it was at Urban Surf or, well, no, it wasn't Urban Surf yet, whether it was in the ocean or on holidays, and come back with this look of elation on his face. And I'm like, I want some of that. But in addition to it, I thought, wouldn't it be good doing a pursuit together? Because, you know, if you are both busy and your only connection is your child, we've got a beautiful 12-year-old, you know, you're not doing a lot together. So it was hard because there was not a very level playing field. Tom was a very experienced surfer and I was an utter kook. So I thought, I'm determined to do this. And it was interesting what you said about listening to answers. Surfing and when you learn to surf is very humbling, especially at an older age. Fortunately, I had a really strong background in skiing. I'd been a ski instructor. I'd skied since I was four. So I think I had a bit of balance really fit. I run and do weight training. So I had that. But surfing is a whole separate beast. You know, every wave is different.
Totally.
The whole politics of the lineup, especially in the ocean, is different. It really is you and the elements. And with skiing, you can master a run and go, right, I'm going to go down that run and I know it's landscape. Whereas the landscape, if you will, of every wave is different.
Yeah. Changes, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of thought, oh, this is, and there were times where I was out at Urban Surf, I started in the white water out there, mm-hmm. and was just tumbled around so badly, got onto cruiser. And I remember just catching my first wave in, and I had a little taste of that elation that Tom felt. And I thought, I'm hooked, I'm in. and it's interesting with surfing though, you've really got to commit to it. And I guess, and here's a big plug for Urban Surf, but the reason I love it, and this is an unusual thing, and not in a reverse sexist kind of way, but I found that the politics of the lineup and the argy-bargy in the ocean, something I find difficult to overcome and one of the hardest parts of surfing. And I'm sort of eternally polite out there. I'm like, oh, no, you go. Oh, no, you get this one. Oh, no, I'll get the next one. And just all these guys would be getting, it's a left and right breaking wave, the surf break I surf at. And there's guys getting waves in front of me. And I sort of almost have to wait till it was empty before I felt I could catch a wave. So I love the diplomacy of urban surf, where you queue up and your wave is your wave. And I found that took away a lot of the intensity of surfing in the ocean for me as a someone learning.
As a woman.
As a woman.
So you surfed in the ocean as well as learning at Urban Surf, so side by side. Because I want to ask you, what were some of the barriers? And I think you've just touched on some of those. And I am going to talk from a woman perspective because, again, not being sexist, but starting like I did at the same or similar age, as a more mature woman, I think from my perspective there were more fears at this age than there might have been had I started 20 years ago. Different kinds of fears.
Yeah.
But let's, if you're okay with this, talk about the barriers and the support that you had and have continually in the ocean and at Urban Surf, because I've got people who listen from both perspectives. And we know, and again, I said this to you before we even started this, I don't want this to be a plug for Urban Surf because we are kind of biased towards that, because it is such a supportive and great environment to learn. But there are people who are going out to learn to surf as women who are older in the ocean as well. And you've got that experience on both sides, more so than what I do.
Yeah. Look, nothing will beat the visceral feel of the ocean. Nothing. I mean, to be in that water in particular, say at sunrise, and then a dolphin swims out of the wave. I mean, that is, to me, my idea of heaven. And nothing will beat that. And in a curious way, I like how mercurial the ocean is, in that every wave can be different and you've got to learn to read sets and read tides. But so that's the appeal for me of the ocean. And often we surf in a little posse in our particular break, which is nice. However, there's not the same camaraderie out in the ocean as there is at Urban Surf. So I always find there's a great sense of camaraderie and like meeting you and your just gorgeous smile in the lineup. Oh, I love it. Lifts my soul and spirit. is that also you're surfing with people your standard. And so in the ocean, you know, there's this standard from absolute beginners to really, really great guys. And often the really great guys get frustrated with the beginners in front of them. And I guess at Urban Surf, you know, there's different categories. So you're not going to frustrate experienced surfers, but you're also not going to be sort of not held back, but you're not going to be surfing over utter beginners. So there's that kind of advantage. And I think too, having lessons was really good for me. Like you're not going to get those sort of lessons, consistent lessons in the ocean. So I really wanted to make the leap from cruiser to cruiser turns. But because I'm married to one of those really weird goofy footers, and my friends are goofy, all I'd surf was the left and I'd never surf the right. Yeah. And this is an interesting lesson in psychology of sport, because I just got in my head, I can't do the right. And so I thought, right, that's it. I'm going to not only advance to cruiser turns, we're going to advance to cruiser turns right. And I was so nervous driving out for my first lesson. I was on, you know, the Tullamarine Freeway. My heart was racing. And part of that's good, Tanya, because life gets really dull you know, and you sort of think, oh, same old, same old. But to be put in a challenging position out of your comfort zone is a really, really good thing, I think. So I did this 5-week course and I committed to 2 surfs in between. Now, my first lesson, I kook slammed every single, I've got vision of it. I just,
nose diving. Yep.
Every wave. And I'm on an 8-foot board. I'm not the biggest person in the world. So it was just like being on an ocean liner and just getting tumbled badly. But, you know.
Is there a point that you thought, I'm not going to do this? Or do you
Oh, after that first one. And I'd still committed to 5 weeks. And also I'd committed to filming it and cataloguing it for Urban Surf. So I was locked in. Like I couldn't just sort of moonwalk backwards and go, see ya. You know, suit me. I was like,
everybody knew what you were doing.
Baby. And I was like, yes, that first one I drove home and I said to Tom, I can't do it. I just cannot. I can't do it. It's too humiliating. It's too exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's too soul destroying. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to do this. I don't have to put myself in there. But then this next week rolled around and I caught one. I went, wow, a lot had to do for me for positioning where I was on the wave, where I was on my board, how I was angled. And then I got it. And then I just had the steepest learning curve over this 5-week course out there. And then I took those skills into the ocean as well. So they're not just specific to urban surf, and caught this really quite substantial wave out for me. Don't you love that? Oh, they'll be hard.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Substantial. But for me, a substantial wave. And I thought, wow, this is really great. So, yeah, I think, so look, it's not necessarily, the only woman thing is for me in lineups being too polite and not being assertive enough. But that's the only time I felt sort of a gender divide in surfing.
From a psychological perspective, do you know why that is?
Oh, yeah, look, I mean, that's a argument is old as the hills, isn't it? You know,
why the disease to please?
Yeah, I think so. The need to please people, just generally being polite. Often I'm out there surfing with my daughter and young kids. You know, just that inherently not go get it, you know, at the expense of other people. A sort of selflessness. I think being a mum, I'm probably much more selfless just in everyday pursuits.
Wanting to be nice.
Yeah, and wanting to be nice.
Wanting to be seen as nice.
Yeah, all of that. Yep. So, yeah, I do think so. I think it's, but it's not a conscious thought. I think it's so interwoven into the fabric of mums and women that to untangle it would be impossible. Will I ever be that sort of person that goes, this is mine? Well, a little bit more now I'm better. A lot of it had to do with confidence as well, which was, imagine if I take this wave. Fall off.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, that was a waste. So I think my confidence means I'll probably be a little bit more assertive out in the lineup. And, you know, I've given that approach to my career as well. So I'm certainly more assertive because I'm more confident, but I'll never be that person that will surf over beginners at their expense.
Yeah.
Not long ago.
I was going to say, and that comes from a lot from being able to put yourself back in the perspective of being there.
Yeah. Not so long ago.
So do you think the assumption that coming from thinking you need to start young in sport to be So having started later, and I get this a lot when I'm coaching people, people go, oh, you're a good surfer. And I'm like, you haven't even seen me surf. And you assume that because I'm a coach, I'm a great surfer. And then the next assumption that people make is that I've surfed all of my life. Do you think that assumption is what do I want to say with this? Do you get that? Like, do you think that coming from a sporting background, you assumed yourself that you'd be able to do it?
Well, I look at it quite a different way, and I want to get this T-shirt made up. It is never too late to start something new. I really believe that. And I think if you set your mind to it, you can do anything. And so contrary to that, I just think taking up surfing, and I'll get to it later about the joy it brings me, but never too late. I mean, I surfed into my 50th, right, with the help of Jules from bless that patient man from Urban Surf, and I fell off in front of 150 guests, but it didn't matter. Got back on the board, rocked in a bikini to my 50th, grabbed a glass of champagne, put on my dress, went on through. And, you know, I did that not because I wanted to show off that I could surf, because I couldn't really surf that well, but to show, you know, here I am at my 50th, rocking on in surfing, because I just took this up recently. And whew. So, look, I think being sporty helped, but no. And I, in my career, I got into motoring as a niche within journalism later as well. And I don't think it's ever too late. So for all the would-be surfers out there that go, I'm too old, no one's too old, I took my mum out, who's 82. Now, she didn't stand up, but she rode on the board on her tummy right into the shore. And I'm like, unreal, that's 82. And she took up tap dancing in her 70s and did her PhD when she was 69. So for me, my mum's very much a role model of never too late.
And you can't say you're too old because you just because you haven't, you shouldn't say you're too old even if you haven't tried, because you're
never too old. Yeah.
How does surfing affect your mental health?
Oh, it's been brilliant. It has been the most extraordinary, not healing, because it's not like I needed healing, but certainly coming out of lockdown. Fortunately, one of the lockdowns, I was by the ocean, which is is healing in itself. The interesting thing about surfing, and I was trying to distill why it's so good for your mental health, and I think, you know, in yoga they say empty your mind, right? And my mind is so active. You know, that's Savasana at the end where you're supposed to lie down and empty your mind. My mind's like one of those card dispensing machines at a casino. Just going, you have all the things I should
be downloading.
Lying down, it's like downloading. So I find it very hard to empty my mind. But surfing you do, because you're so concentrating on the task at hand. So you could go into the waves, whether it's in the ocean or urban surf, with this catalogue of chaos, problems, jobs, to-do list. But you don't even think about that for the hour or two you're out surfing, because you're just in the moment. So I've never done a pursuit or a sport or something so pleasurable where you truly, truly, truly are in the moment and not thinking about what you should be doing. So I think from that perspective, it's great. And I think also the confidence that came with thinking, I don't think I can do this, and then overcoming that and doing it. You know, you want to high five yourself, feel a bit
tough. Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, I've got through that. Yeah. So from those two perspectives, it's been awesome.
Yeah. And from the physical aspect as well, I wanted to touch on that too. So you went away skiing over winter for a couple of weeks, I missed you incredibly and complained to you that you weren't in the ocean or went in the water with me. But one of the things that you said when you came back, or when I spoke to you after that, was that you found that your physical strength had improved as a result of surfing that carried over into your skiing.
Yeah. So that, for me, the most important thing about surfing is how it strengthens your core. So because I run and do weight training, I've always had strong arms and legs, but for me, they've sort of been dangling off a naked spine, if that makes sense. I sort of
absolutely,
like,
yeah.
You know, arms and these legs, and I'm like, but this sort of core that's not that strong. And the other thing is, our whole lives, because they're around computers and phones, we just live this sort of hunched life, whereas surfing's the reverse of that. So it sort of opens you up. So in terms of core strength, my lower back, my upper glutes, abs, you know, I've always been fit, but I've never had abs before, but surfing gives you abs. And I just was like, wow. So having that core strength for skiing was awesome. So that the fitness that surfing gives alone is worth it for how it translates into everyday
life.
No back pain, touch wood.
Yeah.
You know, even running, you know, like because my glutes are stronger, my lower back's stronger, my abs are stronger, just running's better. And I'm really mindful of how I carry myself. So probably more upright as opposed to hunched. So I couldn't think of anything I've done sporting wise that's had such a instant and profound beneficial impact on my physical well-being as well as mental well-being.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when we were speaking on Saturday, we were in the lineup together, and we were It was your first time back again after school holidays and being busy with media projects and work and stuff. But you said in the lineup to me, the first couple of waves that you caught back, you were a little bit nervous again.
I was nervous, and I came off the first one, which was in my head, and I was in the wrong spot. And I talked myself into falling off that wave because I was nervous. Yeah, it was interesting.
Such big things there, like all of those three things that you and I probably take for granted, that someone coming in to learn to surf goes through that every time they get in the water.
Every time. So I was like paddling out, and I thought, ooh, even just paddling, I thought, wow, you know, I haven't done that for four. It was only 4 weeks. Felt like eons, but it was only 4 weeks. So the paddling, and then I was a bit, instead of being calm and in the moment, I was a bit panicky that first couple of days, like, oh, it's my go. And then I'm trying to spin around, and then I wasn't quite ready, and I wasn't in the right spot on my board, and I wasn't in the right spot on the wave. And I just, of course, back to old Kookslam days, you know, and there's all these guys on the side. Yeah. And I'm like, and you know, when you get, it's like being in a washing machine where you just
sucked up and tumbled under and then you can feel the concrete on the floor. Yep.
I was like, nah. So, but that's good. But that comes back to what I was saying, Tanya, about the humbling element of it. You know, you are not omnipowerful, really, the waves are. And I think that's important for humans to sort of learn that.
It's nice to keep humble and I don't think it would be so enjoyable if I thought that I had conquered it, that I was really good. And I think that's the thing that I, even when I talk to high-end level athlete surfers, there's always this element of nature still has control. And even as good as you can be, like Kelly Slater level, you still have to have that respect, because you never know, you're never going to be or know every single thing about every element of surfing, because it can change rapidly and because it's so broad.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I think of, you know, what humans are doing to the planet, and it just sometimes just is so overwhelming and distressing and upsetting, but sometimes it's really lovely to know that nature is omnipowerful and we're really beholden to her. And I think if it's a her, I think it is. I think that's a really, really good grounding thing for us all.
Do you have a competitive nature?
Oh, look, I do. I do. Yeah, I know I'm sounding all me versus the waves, but not.
No.
But only with myself.
I was going to say.
Not really with other people.
Because no. I was going to say, do you have a competitive nature with Tom?
No, we're very different. We sort of have different skills in different areas. And we're not competitive. I'm not competitive with other people. I'm very inclusive, actually. And I think in different media organisations I've worked in, I've often been the mama bear, you know, in an industry that's traditionally not very supportive. So, no, but I am with myself. So, hence the five-week surf course I did. I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to do this for me, you know, not for because I want to be better than that girl or that guy, but for me. So, competitive broadly, no, but personally, yes.
What's your next goal in surfing?
Oh, yeah, I've got a few. Hence.
Awesome.
So I'm on the ocean liner, as I said, the 8-foot board.
And Tom's just bought you a new board?
Yeah, so he has. So I've got three goals. So first one starts Thursday. Actually, sorry, when are you going to air with this? You might have to cut this bit out.
Probably not for a couple of weeks. So 3 weeks time.
Yeah. So first goal is Tom's bought me a new board that's 7'4". And I wanted be able to ride cruiser turns on that, because I think the board I'm on, I can now stand up and ride and go straight, and it's so big, it's really hard to carve
turn.
It really is. Like I sort of turn one way, it's like it's like turning the world around, and it's like
having no power steering in a car, isn't it? Like there's like those big old Ford Falcons
and I'm like, and then I end up just sailing off to the airport, you know. Not going to get back. Okay, so next goal is get down to 7'4". I want to bring my newfound cruiser turn skills to the left, so I'm ambidextrous and to keep all my goofy friends happy. And then my next step after that, and you're coming with me, we're going to do intermediate.
We are so parallel in exactly what we're doing, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your plans? Come on.
Help me. So my plans are, one, to get off the foamy.
Yeah,
because I'm still riding the foamy. Reduce it down in size because I'm in a 7.6. I want to go down to a 7.4, and be consistently riding on the left because I'm kind of got myself into a position now where I'm a little bit scared of it because I went out there a couple of weeks ago actually with my new BFF when you went around, Jeff, when it was really busy on the right one morning and I realized he'd snuck over to the left. So for the last like 20 minutes, I went across to the left. And again, I just ate the concrete every single wave because my body is so adapted to being on the right. And like being a corrective exercise coach, I know I should be on the left and balancing that out. And I just haven't done it because I've gotten so good at being on the right. So yes, get off my foamy, reduce the size of the board and get over onto the left. But
your friend, we can do this in sync.
We can do this in sync.
We can do this together.
I want to do intermediate as well because I want to be able to, with coming into summer as a staff member at Urban Surf, we only get spots in the lineup when they're available. And over winter, we've been spoilt in the fact that we can get as much as we want because we haven't had big numbers. But going to summer, I know what summer last year was like. So I know I'm not going to be able to get into cruiser turns whenever I want. So being able to broaden my ability to surf in more settings, being in intermediate, being able to ride in intermediate means that I've got three different choices if I have to make that choice.
Great. So, we're doing this together, baby. I can feel it.
That's so the plan.
I'm starting this week with the 7.4. And again, I'm nervous, which is good. Because can I do this? A bit trepidatious about moving to a smaller board. But now beyond that, who knows? I'd be pretty, not that I'm complacent at all, but I'd be pretty comfortable if I'd gone from not being able to surf at all a year and a half, 2 years ago, not to, to being intermediate. I'd be pretty happy with that.
When we think about it, or when you take that perspective outside over surf and put it into the ocean, it's pretty incredible to have come that far that quickly.
So that
needs to be celebrated.
Yes, we'll have to celebrate after our next three challenges, the left, long, the shorter board and the intermediate for sure. Yeah, but and it's just such a cool thing to do too. I kind of wish I did it when I was single, just saying.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like the chick on the surfboard. I'm like, oh, I know, right? And I'm like, it's too late now.
My next question for you, what is your favourite location to surf in now? And what would be your dream location to surf in if you could? Have you thought about that?
So I surfed down at the Pines in Shoreham, and I don't know if you saw the other day a kangaroo popped out of the water. How magical is that?
Amazing. I mean,
dolphin's one thing, but a kangaroo is a whole other kettle of fish. So I love that down there because it's tidal, but if you are doing an early morning surf, the sun comes up right in front of you. It's a left and a right break. It's pretty gentle. You can get a park. This is important.
These things are important.
And there's, you know, their vista's beautiful because it, you know, it's called the Pines because they're these beautiful pine trees. And it's not too deep, so kids can walk out. Like you can walk out.
It's not intimidating in terms of you don't think you're going into deep water.
That's my favorite break. And of course, the Urban Surf, because it's just, yeah, it's just like my second home. Actually, someone has asked me if I work there, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna have to work a little bit too much.
Well, you know, but I've been talking to Tom and saying, Tom,
recently I went to Noosa and got all excited, thought I'm gonna surf, and it was a lake, so that was a bit disappointing. I'm like, come on. I even hired a surfboard and I'm like, what do you mean there's no surf? So it wasn't even big enough for a massive mount. There wasn't even a ripple.
Wow.
But I think something gentle in Hawaii, just to say I've surfed in Hawaii and to be in warm water. And one of the challenges I found over winter, now this is a girly thing. Mm-hmm. I've never been colder in my life. And this is coming from a seasoned skier. But one day I was out at Urban Surf and the water was 8 degrees and the outside temperature was -1.
Yeah.
And you could see the condensation coming out of your mouth. And I am like in a 4.3 with a rash vest and a hood and gloves and booties. And you know, and even boys were cold. Like, so for me to overcome being cold was a big thing. But as you touched on earlier, surfing over winter, good summer surfers are made in winter.
That's absolutely
the shit I'm going to get made up. So, you know, being committed over winter rather than just being a fair weather surfer is important. So back to your question. So they're my three surf spots. So somewhere in Hawaii, or maybe the Maldives, somewhere just warm, or I can just surf in a bikini, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally feel you. One other thing, or one other place that fascinates me, though, is when you see the videos with Mick Fanning and the testing that they do of the Rip Curl wetsuits, I think mostly, but down at the Antarctica, like down in the really cold regions.
Yeah,
I think I'd like to experience that. I don't think it would be.
So I'll be on the shore watching you.
You'll be on the boat.
I'll be on the boat with a cuppa and,
you can wait there with me. Wait for me there with hot chocolate.
Just doesn't really. I mean, I'm fascinated by it, but is it calling my name?
Not really.
No.
Okay. You can be on my boat then, Elise.
Great.
If you had one piece of wisdom to leave with my audience, what would that be about surfing or life in general?
It's never too late to start. It is never too late to take up a new pursuit. And that's it in a nutshell. Give it a crack.
And get the support you need around you to support that dream.
Yeah. And then you look, a support's great. I mean, it's helped me that I've had a husband who's a surfer. So he can give me a lot of tips. You know, I think there's a funny video I posted we're telling it. He goes, now stand up straight away. I'm like, got it. Okay. Got it. But, you know, having someone like you out there, I mean, I really thrilled to see your beautiful face and your spirit out there, Tanya. You know, you are very encouraging. You know, you and I are always whooping people and chatting, and I ask everyone's name. And but, you know, you keep that back to that camaraderie really going, which is lovely. You're incredibly supportive, beautiful presence out in the waves. So I think, you know, if you can surround yourself with that, otherwise it could be a little bit lonely. It could be a bit overwhelming as a pursuit. So if you've got friends you can take it up with, or a partner who's into it, or someone, or hook up with some people out there, yeah, that helps too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with me today, Liz.
God, I love it. I can't wait for our little... Not little, our big.
Big.
Coming up. Yeah, watch this space.
I'm going to go and write it in on my whiteboard in my office right now.
Yeah, on my vision board. I'm just going to write it there, you and me in tandem. But thank you. It's really lovely having you and your presence out there, Tanya.
Thanks, Elise. If you've enjoyed this episode of Amongst the Waves with Elise Elliott, you can find her and her husband Tom on their podcast, The Elliott Exchange, on Apple or Spotify podcasts. You can also find Elise on social media at Instagram at EliseElliott_media. Are you a surfer on the qualifier series? Do you want to improve your ranking and know the secrets to having the mindset of a pro surfer on the championship tour? I've created a guide for you, and it's called The 3 Ways to Overcome the Mental Battles of Professional Surfing. And you can get your free copy in my bio on Instagram. You can find me there at Tanya A. Carroll.